little bit different of a service. Sit and listen to me do all the talking. All right. And so we get to hear what God, and I know there's like applause almost. I saw it in there. You're welcome to do that. It doesn't offend me. Okay. So God is at work, not just in my life to be able to talk, but in your life too. And so we want to hear from the body this morning. And so there's going to be at least two different opportunities to do that. I'm going to kind of set this up in a minute here, but we're going to be able to hear God's work in your life personally. And so that could include everything from your own personal devotion time, what God is saying to you through the scriptures, right? It can include things that maybe God's been speaking and working to you on you through some of the sermon messages this past summer, or through your Sunday morning Bible group time, and God's been teaching you some things, and you want to just give some testimony of what God is doing in your life, right? So God's work in your own life personally, or how he, and then the second component, and this will be later in the service, will be God's witness through your life. And so your impact on sharing your faith, your impact through serving maybe in Vacation Bible School this past summer, or on a mission trip that you were a part of this summer. So God's work through your life, okay? So the first part, in your life, and then God's work through your life is the second part. But first, let's let the Word shape our testimonies this morning. So I want to invite you to Psalm 124. It's actually on the screen. So here's what we're going to do. You're welcome to turn and find it in your own Bible. It's actually on the screen together. Some churches do this quite frequently. We don't do it as frequently, but let's read it together as a faith community this morning. Psalm 124, it's not very long. It's all on the screen. And so let's read it in unison together. And so if we're going to read it, that means you can't necessarily go from your Bible because it might be a different translation. And so we all have the same translation. It's the ESV together on the screen. So if you want to read along out loud, then let's follow together on the screen. All right. So Psalm 124, verse 1. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who is on our side when people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us. Then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Awesome. Psalm 124. And so in the psalm, we first see that our testimony is promoting God's presence and protection. We see that the psalmist kind of plays a little bit of this game called Let's Pretend. Now, I have four little girls. You know that. I also have a young boy. But my girls, they like to play together. And whenever they go out and play together, it could be inside or it could be outside, they kind of create these games. And when I say games, it's not really like sport competition type games, but little girls, their games are more like creating like plays and dramas and kind of like role casting games. Okay. So it's those sort of games that they like to create. And they will include other neighborhood kids from all over our community and to come into these games. And they always, in these games, sometimes they would kind of last multiple days. Like, it will, you know, they'll play the game up to this point, and then they have to come in and eat dinner and all that good stuff. And then the next day, well, let's pick it back up tomorrow where we left off. And it's just kind of this ongoing sort of thing. But the key phrase that happens is, let's pretend that, and then it all comes about, right? It all unfolds to their greatest imagination. Let's pretend that. Well, that's what the psalmist is doing in Psalm 124. Instead of saying let's pretend, he says if, and then he goes on and he lists all these different things that are wrapped around this idea, if God were not on our side, if God were not on our side, let's pretend God were not on our side. And then he goes off and lists three scenarios, right? Three scenarios. They're almost like anxieties, like if anxiety, like if these things would happen, right? And the first one is we see in verse 2. If the Lord was not on our side, that there people will rise up against us, right? And these people will swallow us alive. So it's the danger of what I call of they. The danger of they. Now, they always don't have a name, right? It's just, well, people will say, or people will talk. Well, what will people think about me if I do this? And so it's the danger of they. That's what the psalmist is kind of talking about there in verse 2. That people will rise up against us. What if they disagree with me? What if they don't like me? What if they want to try to come out and come after me? And that's what the psalmist is saying. If God is not on our side, then we have the danger of they. He also talks about drowning from trials. He talks about the floods coming over our life and sweeping us away. So drowning from trials. I call that kind of the fact of like the worst case scenario. Like the psalmist is saying, what if a flood comes and swallows us up, right? And overtakes us, right? Then sometimes we can get in that in our own life situations, like the worst case scenario, you know? Like, well, what if there's an earthquake? What if a meteor strikes? What if you lose your job and you run out of money? What if, and it just goes on and on and on. And all these things just cycle through our mind. And then they seep into our heart and it's just drowning from trials. Sometimes these trials, these scenarios are real life. And we feel like we're drowning. The third scenario of let's pretend if God were not on our side, it's the danger of that one enemy. He talks about escaping. We see in verse 6 and 7 where he's talking about a bird escaping from the snare of the fowlers. And so it's just one single enemy, right, that is out there. And it's that one enemy like in our mind. And in our mind, that one enemy, it's like, well, what if my rival enemy wins and I lose? Like, and so we start to play that mental game in our mind, you know, what if they win and I lose, right? And that anybody else could win, but if that one person wins, if that one person gets the promotion, if that one person gets the recognition, if that one person gets the major break in their life, you know, it kind of has the breakthrough and I don't get the breakthrough, like my whole world will fall apart. Anybody else thinks something good can happen in their life, but if it's just that one person, then I'm undone, right? Or what if all my friends follow that one enemy that I have? Like they're not going to be my friend anymore. They're going to be that person's friend. And we work through this if anxiety sometimes in our minds, and it just really undoes us. But the psalmist here, in the midst of all this if anxiety, how he overcomes this if anxiety is he is affirming God is on his side. He is affirming that God is present. He is affirming that God has protected him from all these variety of things. And so the Christian life, it's not an escape from the burdens that we have in this life. In fact, the Christian life, it's a battle. And so there's all kinds of battles that we have. But yet, in the midst of that, we see and affirm God is present with us. And you could trace that all the way throughout the Bible, whether it's way back in the book of Genesis, in the flood happened to the whole entire earth. But God was with Noah and his family. Or you could trace it through the Exodus. And when God's people... they were in Egypt and the plagues came. Israel still saw the plagues. They were still present, but God was protecting them in the midst of all the plagues. So it didn't happen to them. Or Psalm 91, you could read Psalm 91. It's an entire full psalm talking about God's protection over his people. Or when Jesus tells us, he says, in this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And so we overcome if anxiety by affirming God's presence with us. God is on our side. In fact, the New Testament says it like this. If God is for us, who can be against us, right? And so this morning, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. This morning, Psalm 124, verse 1, let Israel now say. This morning, let's affirm Revelation 12, 11. They, Christians, God's people, conquered Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And so this morning, let's hear some testimonies of how God is present in your life and how he is working in your life. Because when we share our testimony, we are conquering Satan. We are defeating the devil through our testimony and by the power of the gospel. So let Israel now say, I would love to hear some testimonies of how God is working in your life. Is there a mic? There it is down there. Awesome. All right. So who wants to go first? All right. Somebody.
Well, I apologize to my Sunday school class because they've already heard this morning. But this past week, Billy and I dropped off my son, my baby, at college. And, of course, I've been praying for him for a long time that this would go well, dropping him at college. And we got there and drove around the campus. And there were hundreds and hundreds of students out there praying in front of all the buildings at Liberty University. And my mama's heart just went, okay, it's not just me praying for him. They're praying for him, too. And it was a wonderful time, just a sweet time of dropping him off. We had a great time praying over him, and Jacob was crying, and I was crying, and Billy was almost crying. And
I love that.
Billy. And then we were on our way home, and we listened to sermons on long drives, and we were going through some of what's the pastor's? I forget the guy, Jensen Franklin. Anyway, and one of his sermons was called "No More Jacob," and that's my son. I said, okay. We have to listen to this one. It's No More Jacob. And it couldn't have been, it was just one of those, it's not odd, it's God moments. It was perfect for what I was going through, what Billy's going through, and even what Jacob was going through. And then we drove home and pulled in the driveway, and there was something in the driveway, and I didn't know what it was, but the next morning when I went out and looked at it, it was an empty nest. It was a bird's nest in the driveway. And that's never happened before. And so I just want to praise God and say, he is so good to me. He is so good to me. Just showing me all the way through this very difficult process for my mama's heart, you know, and that he is there and he is with me and he loves me.
Amen. 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 If anxiety and how God is present. Somebody give testimony. How's God present in your life? What is he? How's he working? What has he been saying to you? Come on. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Miss Lois.
My name is Lois Wilson, and I'm so thankful to be a part of this church. I live at Brightview, and I just want to thank the people who come and sing twice a month in the evening for our hymn sing. It means a lot to me, and it means a lot to so many others. Thankfully, I'm able to still get out to church, but there are a lot of people there who cannot, and you just don't know what a blessing it is.
Amen.
And I became a Christian when I was 16, and I've lived many years. I won't tell you how many. But the Lord has blessed me so many ways. And thanks again. I won't call all the people's names who come to Brightview, except I will say Mary plays the piano and Fred leads the singing, and all these wonderful people who spend their time to come share their faith with us.
Amen. 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 Miss Lois, I can remember, you know, the transition from, you know, from one place into Brightview, and, you know, what was God going to do in this new home, this new place, this residence for you, and how God has affirmed that all the way through. It's so good to see in your life. Somebody else, God's work in your life.
Hi, I'm Peg Winter. We had
our seventh great-grandchild. But what we didn't know was that it's my grandson and his wife. They lost two babies. And what it was, her blood would clot. And so she had to give herself shots in her stomach. And we've all been praying for her. And the baby was born, and he's healthy. And we're going out to meet him in a couple weeks. So God is with our family, and we're so blessed by that. And Billy is a super Christian. He loves the Lord, and I'm just so glad that God blessed him.
Amen. Amen. And Brother Ben?
All right. So on Thursday, we were at Cool Pool, the water was pretty warm. But so I asked Pastor Dave, so this testimony thing, how does it work? And he's like, just talk about some fun and scenes of faith that you saw at Fuge this summer. I'm like, all right. So I've been praying to God that he could speak through me and I could share whatever he needs to say. And so so at Fuge, we were given this little booklet, and we got to go and write down, it asked a bunch of questions, like, and one of the questions was, are you Christian? Well, yes. And then, how certain are you? And I put, I'm certain. But what I didn't know is, one of my friends who was there, he wasn't so certain. He went to church every once in a while, but he felt he had a growing distance between him and God. And so, throughout the week, we went and we saw many blessings and miracles occur at Fuge and all around us in Charleston, the whole area. And it was a great time. And my friend was he was there when there's this little girl at the place we went to. It was like this little daycare-ish house that we could go, and we played with the kids, and God was able to help us share our faith with them. And my friend was there when this little girl, every time she saw me, she came up and she grabbed my hand and she's like, honey, now we gotta go to the car. And we walk over to this little chain and we drive over town. But my friend was there when he saw God was able to work through me to share my faith to this little girl through the Flash. Like, you know, the TV show, the really fast guy. Yes, it is a little ridiculous, but he works in mysterious ways. And so throughout the week, more events like this happened that were a little odd, but it was God. And well, at the end of the week, my friend shared that he wasn't so certain to Pastor Dave. And at the end of the week, he said, looking back, now I can say with 100%, I am certain that I'm a Christian. And that really touched me.
Awesome. How God is present in your life. Anybody else? One or two more? Yeah. I've only been walking for 40 years.
I didn't plan to say anything today, but I feel like I don't often tell people a whole lot about my faith because I feel inadequate and not good enough. So I wanted to at least say it now, that Jesus loves me anyway. And in all of our faults and all of our shortcomings. I'm not real good with little kids. I have 3 grandchildren, but they're different ages. And I'm so glad the Lord has given me the husband he gave me. He's so good with the kids. But instead of feeling like, oh, I'm sorry, God, I'm not good that way. I can't entertain them all. Instead of saying that, I need to say, thank you, Jesus. You love me so much to give me such a wonderful husband who has loved me all my life. But the Lord has always been with me. I knew he was there when I was just little, and I don't know how old I was, but I remember speaking out to a pastor. I was a little girl, and he asked a rhetorical question in church, and I answered him. You know, like, I didn't hear God in my audibly, but in my heart. And when I was 12, another pastor had come to our house in Magnet Beach, and I sat at his feet and listened to him witness to my mom, and she was a Christian, but he noticed I sat at his feet the whole time listening, and he asked me if I wanted to accept Christ, and I thought I had already done that. I said yes, but laid his hands on my head, and God has been always with me. He's been with me through cancer twice. He's been with me through a bad accident. I wasn't sure it was going to be okay. I had blood in my chest, and they weren't sure when they did the exam, whatever that test is. And I said, well, what if it's a bad story? Can you fix it? And it was at Hopkins, and they said, we can fix it, but it's dangerous. I said, okay. And I wasn't afraid. Anyway, the Lord is good, and he loves me anyway. Yes, and because he has forgiven me for so many things, I forgive others because God has forgiven me.
Amen. Amen.
This is important that we share testimonies of not just celebration, but sometimes of lament, of just, you know what, life is hard and struggle. And sometimes we feel like we can't share that, but I want you to know that even this morning, as it's been shared, thank you so much, Sharon, that this is a safe place. This is a community where we often say it's okay to not be okay. It's just not okay to stay there, right? And we work together in love, Christian love, and we point people to Jesus. And we see his presence in our life, and we're able to find and say, you know what, life is hard, but God is good, and he's with us, and he sees us through all these hardships in our life. So thank you for being able to share that. One more before we move on. Yeah, Miss Wanda.
I saved me for last.
Is this for the well or for you?
For me.
Okay. Because we're gonna do how God is working through us for places like the well in a few moments here.
Whatever you want.
Miss Wanda, you've earned it. Go ahead.
Sharon encouraged me. I was going to be quiet, but I can't be quiet. I came to Christ when I was a little girl, about 9 or 10 years old, and I was sitting in a revival service in a church called Lone Oak Baptist Church in western North Carolina, back in the mountains, on Lake Santitla. And I made sure I sat right in the front row to see this visiting evangelist, because I wanted to see him spit and holler and, you know. But I stayed far enough away so he didn't spit on me. So I sat in the front row listening to the message about hell and damnation. And so the longer he preached, the more convicted of sin I became. Now, as a child, there hadn't been that much sin in my life, but there was sin. I remember lying to my mother, and I remember stealing a quarter in school one time. I felt like the greatest sinner in the world. And we're all sinners, regardless if we can name them or not. We're all in the same boat. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, the Bible tells us. So I definitely was a sinner. And the longer he preached, the more my heart broke. And I started crying. And I didn't know what to do. And someone from the back, it was a cousin of mine, and to this day I don't remember who it was, But they came and sat down beside me and said, Wanda, you want to be saved? Uh-huh. Yeah, I want to be saved, but I didn't know how. Well, let's pray. So whoever that was sat beside me and we prayed. And the best I could, I asked Jesus to forgive me of my sin and to come into my heart.
Yes.
And I thought, well, I don't feel that much different. You know, I knew that what he said he would do, according to that preacher. But I didn't, you know, the sky didn't open up. I didn't see angels. I didn't hear thunder. But I just believed he said he would do what he would do in my life.
Amen.
And he did. Years later, now the reason I know I was saved that day is after that, I had a hungering for God's word in my heart. I went home and I found my mama's Bible. And I had underlined Jesus everywhere I could find it. And I tried to read all the red letters. And so I was trying to gather as much information about Jesus as I could. And I knew that I could get it from the red letters in her Bible. Mother had given me a little Bible story book called the Jesus Bible Story Book. And on the front page, as you turn the front page, it had John 1:29, Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. And I wasn't a Christian when I opened that book and read it, but I remember in the third grade, we could quote any poem or verse or whatever we wanted to in our Christmas program that year. And I memorized that verse. Not being a Christian, I memorized that verse and quoted it in school. But that verse began to work its way into my heart.
Amen.
That was the seed that was planted. God watered it. And that was the seed that started me on my way to coming to Jesus. Because that night, as I listened to that evangelist, he told me that Jesus was the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And I want you to know that.
Yes.
We've all sinned. I'm right there with you, Sharon, my sister.
Yeah.
We've all sinned. And I've sinned so much more since I've become a Christian than I have before I was a Christian. I'm ashamed of that. But God loves me anyway, Sharon, just like he does you.
Amen.
And he loves us all.
Amen.
And he is our Lamb. He was the Lamb that was sacrificed for us in our place. We never have to die. He did it for us.
Amen.
So I just praise him today for loving me the way he does. There's been so much in my life I can tell you about, but it would take long, long time.
Amen. Amen. So what we're going to do now is we're going to sing praises to God as a community of faith this morning. Would you stand?
our youth went to truck, and we're part of a mission camp, and so each day there was worship, there was Bible study, and so as students were engaging with God's Word, they were also being sent out each day, and so for several days we were part of entering into kind of the inner city area of Charleston area, and we were spent a few days at this nonprofit kind of daycare center, as Ben was sharing earlier. And so we saw a few days there, and we were able to build a lot of relationships with a lot of students. The owner and founder of the nonprofit daycare center is called Beyond Our Walls. Sorry, it's called Beyond Our Walls. And so the owner of Beyond Our Walls, she's actually from Catonsville, Maryland, and she had moved to Charleston several years ago, about 2 decades ago, and has been there since. But she grew up in Catonsville, and so it was a neat connection there with her, and just precious time there, engaging some students, some young people, all the way from young elementary school all the way through high school. And in fact, part of our Vacation Bible School kind of ministry that we did, mission that we did there, we saw some fruits, and I'm not going to steal anybody's thunder, but I'm sure you'll hear some fruit of our labor there. So I'm going to ask if you're a teen or adult who were part of the youth mission trip, if you'll just come forward real quick. There's probably a couple of you out there. So Ben, Sophia, Parker, and we have a few others. We have a few others. Is Josh? Where is Josh? Come on, Josh. Come on, man. Come on, man. Yeah, so we have a few others, but they're out today. But I'd love to hear from our students something fun that was fun that you liked, that you enjoyed about the week, and then something that you learned faith-oriented that God showed you personally. So we're just going to go down.
A fun thing was on the last day, we were all getting packed up and getting ready to go, but Mr. Tony was still sleeping. And so we decided to try to wake him up by playing the Battle Hymn of the Republic, and it didn't work. It didn't work. So then we started discussing what other military songs we could play, and all of a sudden, he like wakes up and jumps out of his bed, swinging, like, whoa, Mr. Tony. And that's pretty fun. And the faith was probably getting to go and seeing all the miracles that were occurring and watching God work through Mr. Tony to help save several children, or middle school-ish. Yes.
Cool. Good. Pass it down.
The fun part of this was playing with the children at that daycare, and losing to the children at the daycare in games such as checkers and all those. We'd play with them, and then I saw God working through the children at the same time. That most of the children during that day that we were telling them about God, some of them knew a lot about God before we told them. And I was just happy about that.
Awesome.
So I think definitely the most fun part was kind of getting close to all the youth, like in our church and stuff. Definitely there were some youth there who don't regularly come on like Sundays and stuff. So I thought it was really fun that we were all kind of able to like be in like one fun group together and get really close. And like, definitely God sighting is with the kids at Beyond Our Walls, and they're just really, like, you can see, like, their hearts are, like, the seed has been planted, and like Parker said, a lot of them knew about Jesus, and they were willing to talk about it, and, like, they were receptive, fun, like, it was just great to hang out with them.
Okay, my turn. The most fun part was, I have to say, hanging out with all the kids at Beyond Our Walls. They were just really fun. They liked to play and laugh. And, yeah. God sighting, well, the kids were very open to learning about God on that day we were talking to them. They were very interested and open, and I thought that was very great.
Well, I just have fun when I go out on missions with the teens and the youth. It's just a blast, and I'd miss it if I never get to go. So I really do enjoy it, even though some people think I don't enjoy it, but I enjoy it very much. I enjoy eating too. I enjoy the eating. The eating was good too. When we were around fellowshipping and talking to each other and eating, I enjoy that too. Where I saw God work, I saw God work in all these students. But as Ben was saying, I felt the need to share Christ with three of the youth workers that were there, and they were volunteers that helped her out at that. Was it like a daycare? It's like a daycare. People would drop off their kids, and it's like let them run across the street and into the daycare. And it's like that stuff just didn't make sense to me. It's like they didn't care. It's like maybe they cared about their kids, but it's what they knew, I guess. But and God allowed me to share Christ with three of them. And two of them accepted Christ as their Savior. And I pray for those students because my passion is to share Christ with people and to lead them to Christ. But my duty is, and I've had this since I started doing it years ago, is that I want them to really know and to really know that they know. But it's not my job. My job is just to share Christ with them. And if it's to be, it's going to be God. God will water those seeds. It's just to plant the seed. Yeah, I love these guys. I love doing this. So.
Amen. Awesome. Thank you. Great job, guys. Thanks. Great. There are other ways that God has been working through our church body, or you've been, as you go, you've been sharing your faith or being a part of serving people this summer. And so we'd love to hear ways that God has been doing that through you this summer. Brother Darren, Stacy?
Can we go up front?
Yeah, please do.
Right. Yes, please. For nothing. Not dressed in this today. Dressed in this today for any other reason than for you to understand that we are going down a road with this church, with American Heritage Girls and Trail Life USA, to reach out to the community and expand this God's reach from Savannah Park Baptist Church. I forgot where I was. And I'm going to take a license and start speaking here. And if she starts to kick me, that means I'm doing something wrong or I've said something wrong. And we'll go through the correction. Let me take you through the steps that we've gone through so far, just so you know where we are. Because we've reached a point where we've just completed our charter for both organizations.
We did it first.
I wasn't going to mention that. So anyway. Back in December, January timeframe, I was getting this terrible nagging feeling that we had to reach, for me personally, was reach the young boys. The world's not really, they're picking up the worldly ways. They're not being raised up in the ways of God. There's so many young boys out there that need that kind of help. And it was nagging me and bothering me for a long time. Well, it bothered me so much that somewhere along the line, my wife said, you know, we need that for the girls, too. So we kind of started down this road of investigating what it would take to get these organizations chartered within the church. And it's taken us until you got yours in July.
27.
July 27. And ours was August 13, okay? It was close. So what we have now is we have two organizations. Their goal is to create godly men and women, reach out to the community, and hopefully bring people into our church here, but mostly learn about who Jesus Christ is and learn how to live a life that God wants them to live. So where we're at with our charter, that means we have a board of directors in place for both organizations. God was really good there. I had to do a little pushing on a few folks to get them to finish a few steps along the way on the men's side, or I think we could have beat the women. But anyway, the bottom line is, here we are. We've got the organization. And as a matter of fact, yesterday we had our first, we tag-teamed with the children's ministry here, and they had the water day yesterday. And we put some flyers out in VBS, and we have 6 contacts now that we need to go work for sign-ups to start the organization, at least on the Trail Life side. And I'm not sure how many you have that have on the American Heritage Girls side, but... 6 that don't belong. So, yeah. And in that, I know Trail Life's got some contacts with some folks that are ready to come in and start being leaders, because we need some men to come in and be leaders on that side. And so here in the next month, we're going to start having some meetings and start the programs up here. But we've got a long way to go. We could use a lot of help, a lot of people. The church has been so supportive of this effort. I can say that for both, right? Right. I can tell the church is on board. I can tell there's a lot of help out there. I've also had to learn that you got to do things on God's time. I can't make things happen. We can't make things happen exactly when we feel like they should happen. There's a lot of I'm the kind of person that likes to plan out when things are going to happen and check the box and move on and go to the next step. We've got a ways to go. We jumped in the middle of starting 2 new organizations. So we're looking to God and say, hey, just tell us where we're going, and we'll have to work together with the folks that want to go on this ride. And that's kind of where we're at right now.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. So it's exciting to be able to see God initiating in people's hearts to start things, right? And it is a process. It takes time. And we're looking forward to just how God is going to use these ministries, Trail Life and American Heritage, to reach young boys and young girls with the gospel and to train them up and grow them up as to young women and men of faith. Amen. Other ways that God may have been using you or put some things on your heart this summer in serving others and being a witness for your faith to others. Yes, Miss D.
Hi. First, I want to preface that Fred and I are married 42 years. But it was not all easy. 6 weeks after we were married, we moved to Houston, and that first year, I wanted to divorce him 3 times. If we had had the money for me to buy a ticket, that would have happened, but we couldn't afford it. And that was before we were Christians. So I knew God was already working in our lives, keeping me there, keeping me poor, so I would have to stay. And I'm thankful for that. While in Houston, a couple years later, we met a Christian man who was a pastor of a church, and he led me to Christ. The rest of it has been quite an interesting journey. Still very difficult. And about 12 years ago, we were on the vacation from Hades. And I was crying and crying to God as to, is this all my marriage is ever going to be? Because we just had such communication difficulty. And I had told God, I said, look, I really think that I just need to move on. And we need to just separate. Maybe we'll get along better if we're not living together. And God said, no. You have another thought coming, because it's through this union I am going to teach you more about myself. And so I kind of just sat there and went, wow, okay, how do you argue with that? But then after this vacation, and I cried out saying, is this all it's ever going to be? He said, if this is all I allow you for now, will you still honor me in it? How do you say no to that? And we became, God had to work in my heart. I kept saying, change him. It had to change from within me. And oh, my word, what he did in my heart. we're more in love now than we ever were. And one of the things I enjoy doing is writing. I did journaling. So I wrote all this stuff down. Then I'd read through it and see what God had done. And I started a glorified journal. I put it on a website. It's called byfaithministries.org. There's a lot of them out there. But .org is my, it's just my glorified journal. I put my stories out there. And I think I refer to it a whole lot more than most people, because I have to keep going back and remind myself what God had done in our marriage, in my life. Then I decided, I love the internet. I love the power of the internet. I started an online Bible study about 2 months ago. And I just received an email this morning from a gal who I did not know, but she had signed up through my boss at work. And we did it through Zoom, which, if anybody's familiar with it, you could see each other. So we're all on the screen. So it's like we're really there. And we can see each other, and we can hide our face if we're in our pajamas. We can raise it up, you know, whatever. And it turned out so great. And she sent me just the sweetest text this morning, because I had missed her on Thursday night. She was unable to make it. And I was reaching out to her to check on her. And it was just so special to hear that it was special to her to have this time together. Now I'm involved with American Heritage Girls, so I'm going to put that on a back burner for just a couple of months till I know we get this off the ground. But I also want to say to the Bennies, when you asked me to be a part of this, I remember GAs here at this church, and I was 9. And that was Girls Auxiliary. I don't know if you Baptists remember that. I came to that. I don't remember it. I don't remember doing anything special, but I really wonder if that was the groundwork for me when I was a girl. And now I'm 65 years old and I could be part of this groundwork for our girls in the neighborhood. But I hope you'll reach out and read some of my stories. You got to read the turkey story. Fred loves to claim that he's the turkey, but he's not the turkey. The marriage was the turkey, okay? But God gives me these weird little things about, you know, how I can grasp some of his training. And I've had more fun writing about it. But God is so good and has blessed me so much. And he has blessed our marriage. And I'm so glad I listened to him and stuck it out. Thanks.
Awesome. Thank you.
Some online Bible studies. Awesome. Cool. So who else? Ms. Jan?
And Wanda and Becky and me to go up.
Yes, all right.
I told you those things. This all fits in. I need something to say.
Yes, yes. Yep. By all means.
I'm hearing so much about what effect ministries have on our marriages. Wow, that's great. I beat you. Jim and I have been married for 47 years. And because of the ministry that I am involved in, and these ladies are too, the well, on a bad day, on a day that I think didn't turn out the way I wanted it to, I go home and I open that door and I say, I love you more today than I did when I left here this morning. I see what a gift he is to me by being involved in the ministry. Now, Jim is a very private person. So I am the only one who gets to see some of his humor and his quirkiness. And I have to, in recent years, I've had to say, Jim, you got to be careful. You know, you're at our age, my white hair, if you do something that looks a little out of the ordinary, the millennials sit back and look at you, and I know I have two of them, and they'll think, they've got dementia. They've got dementia. Okay. All right, so having said that, I want you all to know that I am fully aware that I have one earring in. I did not forget that I have two ears. It came out in Sunday school, and I couldn't find it. So I know it's not dementia. Now you all know it's not dementia. You all know and have heard of The Well, a women's ministry in Curtis Bay. It is a ministry this church has supported financially for a number of years. Now, that is where I have become very active. I'm doing a lot of different things, but the core to our program is mentorship. It's when a woman, me, who will be assigned a mentee, and you will develop a relationship with that woman where you come alongside her. You meet with her one-on-one for 1 to 2 hours a week. You are in continuous Bible study, and you converse daily. So you are committed. These four women here are what The Well calls faithful, committed volunteers. That means they don't sign up for 1 or 2 times and then they disappear. They come every week and they do something at The Well. One of our programs, it's been working now for about 18 months, is a workforce development program. One of the required readings for being a mentor is to read the book called When Giving Hurts. And that sounds like a contradiction, but you really do hurt people by just handing out, and that you need to help them to work. God designed us to work. He says it in his word. So that's what we share. In that program, we have developed several mock positions that we hire the ladies to work in. We had a benefactor who was so impressed with this program that he said, I want to add one thing to it. And that is, you can give them some money for what they're doing. So we give them a stipend at the end of their six-month rotation. Positions are like buildings manager, someone to keep it clean and do maintenance. Many of you have donated to the Hope Chest. That's clothing and personal items. We have a Hope Chest manager is a workforce development position. We have a front desk assistant. We have a volunteer coordinator. They had to interview for the job. They are monitored daily. I am their supervisor. I evaluate them. I try to make this a real life experience. If they mess up, then I will call them in and talk to them about it. So there, we do have evaluations, and nobody fails in this environment. And I stress upon them that this is a safe environment to learn. And I will tell them, if you made this mistake in the real workforce, it would be grounds for dismissal. So you get an idea of what that is. Because of the career I had with the feds, I do conflict resolution for anybody at the well who needs help in resolving a conflict. However, I do it God's way, and I try first to equip them to resolve their own conflict. We have a large, I told you with the mentees, we have individual Bible studies. Well, we also have every Thursday morning from 10 to 12, we have a large group Bible study that is open to the community. And we refer to our newcomers as the next woman who walks through that door. They are, we share the truth with them. We love on them. We offer our programs to them. Not all take them, and not all take it the first time. And I would like to say that when I sit down with my mentor and I say, you shouldn't do this, that when she leaves that door, she never does it again. I would love to say that, but it is not the truth. So we have to do it again and again and again. But we will do it as long as it takes. I had a friend say to me, I worry about you going to the well. I am afraid something's going to happen to you. And I said to her, there is always some risk in whatever you do, but as long as you keep praying for me, then we can both trust God that we will be safe. Okay. What else do we do? We provide, wait a minute. Did I finish about the Bible study? It's a large group, and there is usually a major presentation, and then we break down into four different tables. And there we have a leader, and I do that. Awanda does that on occasion. And if we have these women coming in, if we want their full attention, well, what are they going to do with their kids? Well, this lady provides daycare during that Thursday morning Bible study. She is faithful. She is always there. If she is not or cannot come, she lets us know in time enough to get a substitute. But if some of those kind of needs, if you don't meet them, you know, they're not going to be there to give you that opportunity to share God's truth.
Is there a specific testimony that we could share from the well? Then here's what we want to do. Here's what we're going to do. Is that if you want to know more about the well, they can tell you all about the well. They would love to tell you all the different. They do so much, and they do phenomenal. Not good, not great, but phenomenal work. They really are doing an awesome job. But instead of just telling us about all the things that the well does, is there something that we could hear from a specific testimony from about the
I
well?
I can tell you, Pastor.
Okay.
Let me just say one more thing. I get to see God working in these women's lives. I get to see lives change. And just as important, Mandy Memel has got to be the strongest woman of God I have ever known. Amen. There is nothing that she does or a decision that she makes that she does not bathe it in prayer. Talk with others about what to do. It is, to be there is like to rub noses with God, personally, to be in her presence. What were you going to say?
Well, I've learned grace. When you see, when a prostitute walks in the door and we welcome them, It just the way they are.
Which is tough sometimes.
It is tough. Because when a girl walks in the door, she may have sores on her body. Mm. She may not have taken a bath in weeks. Mm. She may have straggly, dirty hair with lice in it. But you know that she needs the love God can show her before she can move forward in any way. God has taught me grace because, you know, there were times in my life when I thought, if you're a Christian, you shouldn't be out there doing this, you know. And I was a judgmental, negative thinking. But the well has taught me God loves you right where you are.
Right.
There's no change needed for him to love you. You need to change. You need to love yourself. But God loves you right where you are. And there have been times when I've gone to Mandy and said, Mandy, she's going right back into the same situation she was in before. And why is she still living with this man? And why is she? I'm like, Mother, one step at a time. One step at a time. We'll just love them and let them know that God loves them. And as soon as they know that they're loved, and I'm thinking of Linda Dort. She was close to suicide. She was planning suicide. And she was in a basement apartment. She was going through a whole mess. But she learned that God loved her, that she had value in her life. And that's all we're trying to do at the well. Show these women and some of the families and men, too, that come in there, that they have value in God's sight. He died for them. God loves you so much that he gave his life for you. He left his throne in glory to come down here and live this life that we live, that we don't like sometimes, to show us how much he loved us. And that's all we're trying to do at the well, mm-hmm. regardless of what programs we use and what things we do. And these precious ladies have been such jewels and such blessings because they come in there showing the grace that God shows us every day.
Ruthie came to our church not all that long ago, and I think within a month she was at the well. She started off right where I did, in the hope chest, stacking and taking control of the inventory, deciding what was usable, what was not, keeping it straight after somebody has come in and did some chopping and it's all messed up. So these are treasures right here, and we should use more treasures.
Amen.
At the well.
Mm-hmm. Ruthie said, I can't do anything. I don't know what to do. I don't know what I can do. She's so talented
in work.
In organization, yeah. She's been such a blessing. And Becky,
do what they do for recognition. As I pulled Becky coming up here this morning, she said, I didn't sign up for this. I said, I know you didn't. I know you didn't. Thank you.
No, awesome. Awesome. Not just treasures, but you really are warriors. you are role models for us as a church. You shared earlier about risk involved in going into certain areas, and unfortunately, we always don't have men who are willing to take some faith risks and live out their faith on the front lines. And so I want to say, just personally, and as your pastor, that it's thank you for being that example to us as a body, that you do have to enter into certain points you have to enter into the front lines. And what the well is doing is definitely on the front lines of ministry. And it's awesome to see how God is using you and the well overall, their ministry, and to be able to be just one small little pocket of a partner of what God is doing there. So it is amazing. Okay, look, so we are out of time. I got it. All right. So there are more opportunities that God has been using you. And so I want to encourage you to continue to share those testimonies, share those stories. And certainly we can do a better job of highlighting those more frequently instead of saving them up, right? And so we want to continue to look at that as a church. Let me close out today's service with two things. One thought from me and then one song. We're going to close out with our worship team here. So Psalm 124, verse 8, right? It says, our help is in the name of the Lord. And I like that, right? So the name of the Lord. So all throughout the Bible, when somebody is named, it speaks about their character. A name is given that kind of represents their character of who they are, as well as kind of what they're going to do, their capability. And so think about that. The psalmist is saying that our hope, our help, is in the name, the character, and the capability of who? Of the Lord, right? And so what is God's character, right? We know, like, all those things about his character. You can do an amazing Bible study about the names of God, right? And look and learn about God's character and get to know him. I had a list of names that I was going to share with you, but you do that study. Trace through. There's a study off of a website that I post all of our sermons on, right? You could trace that down. There's a Bible study that's there, and then you do the Bible study about the names of God. Powerful, right? To learn about the character of God, but also his capability of not just who he is, but what he does, right? And so that's what our help is. It's in the name of the Lord, of who he is, right? But I love what the Psalm 124 says. It says it's in the name, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. So the fact that God is creator is not insignificant, right? So to know God as creator, the one who spoke things into existence, that same one loves you and I eternally. That one who created heaven and earth. It's been shared so many times through our testimonies. He loves you. He loves you. He came in and he left heaven and to enter into earth to show us his love. And he uses us as his servants. He doesn't need to. He doesn't have to. But we get the privilege and joy of partnering with him, that he does use us to be his hands and feet. And what a joy and honor that is, isn't it? And so that's what we give testimony to. And that's what we want to just continue to praise God together as a church. The God who is on our side. That phrase in the Hebrew is Yahweh Hayah. Yahweh Hayah. It sounds kind of funny, doesn't it? But it means that God I am. God is present. God is with us. Emmanuel. And isn't that the name of Jesus? God is with us. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you are with us. Through thick, through thin, through highs, through lows, you are there. And God, I pray for the person who came in here burdened with their last trials and things that are going on in their life. God, I pray that they know your clear presence with them. I pray that they've sensed that and experienced that this morning. I pray that it has encouraged them, and I pray that it will continue to encourage them day by day to know your arm, your shoulder around them, to know your strong hand with them in the midst of that storm. And that you may not remove us from suffering or from hardship in this world, but that your presence will sustain us. And so, God, I pray, God, if anybody has these burdens that they need to share this morning, maybe they need to come and make a prayer altar and release these burdens that they have, I pray that they would just drop them here this morning at the foot of the cross as we respond to you in worship. Maybe, God, the ultimate burden, God, of sin, the fact that they don't know a Savior, they don't know the freedom, the forgiveness of their sins. And so this morning they want to come and say, I want to lay myself down on the altar. I want to lay my sin down on the altar, and I want to find God's salvation through Jesus Christ this morning, through his perfect life, his perfect substitutionary death on the cross for my sin, that Jesus took that penalty for us, and that we can find that hope, that freedom, that forgiveness, and the fact that Jesus rose from the grave to be able to walk with people in the newness of life that he offers. And I pray that you would just speak to hearts this morning, and that people would, even if they don't know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, that today would be that day of salvation for them. God, move in our lives today in Jesus' name. Amen. You respond as the Lord.